Thank you, Mr. Wes Tuttle. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer and then have a little song, and you're stuck with me again. I learned things that I don't understand, and I guess it's just going to have to be between them and God. But Philip used to sing. He doesn't want to come up and lead singing. Kit plays the piano, but he doesn't want to come up and sing. And Jim Passmore and I can't do anything, but we'll do it. But so let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity to come together and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn, the carol. Let's call it a carol. Carol number 83, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Okay, thank you. A couple of things I want to announce today. First of all, I do appreciate it, especially now that I've inherited being a grandpa. But I always have. When parents would come and their children were doing this and that, I didn't always go to those things. Rarely did, I'm sorry. Now I really am. But to me, personally, just the greatest thing, the greatest news of a child I received from Tyson and Heather this week, that their little girl Amber has believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior. That is just so... Thought it was time. Wow. See, that's just... To me, that's so beautiful. I thought about other things in math class, but I don't think it was about believing in Jesus Christ. But to me, that is just wonderful. Congratulations. That's just got to be great. Let's see. Next, on the praise and good things, Tish, completely cured as far as the tests and everything of cancer. No more tests. And yeah, that's great. Wow. All right. All right. There you go. Good. Absolutely. Good. You're on your own. That's so good. Tish has had an interesting week. She got news. She got rid of cancer. And then her cow had twins and rejected one. So she gave the one that was rejected to the high school, Future Farmers. There. And I said, guy, let's see, you had cancer, you got rid of it. You had a calf, you got rid of it. It's a good thing you don't have a husband. You get rid of him. Man alive. But so we're just happy. That is just so super that did that. Now, let's talk about some prayer requests. This, of course, being prayer for Nathan, who is in harm's way when he's in combat. And it'd be in prayer for Riley. And let's see, any other prayer requests that we might have? Yes, sir. Bam Bam. Okay, we're going to sue God Knows Who Bam Bam Is. All right. All right, go ahead. Okay. Please be in prayer for Cindy herself and her entire family. It's quite a battle in Wichita Falls, Texas for the family, so please be in prayer for the family. Also, I've been asked about New Year's Eve, and yes, we will have it for those that want to come and worship, and we'll start at 7, and we'll have a study of the Bible from 7 to around 8, and then we'll take some fellowship time. We'll have some finger food, if you can bring that, and then somewhere close to 9, we'll come back and have Bible study and communion and kind of take out the year and bring in the year with the Lord's table. So we will be doing that. And so I just wanted you to be aware of that schedule. And as far as everything else during the next 2 weeks, everything's the same. And Wednesday night service study, which we're just doing a phenomenal study, and the Gospel of John 16, and then, of course, the two on Sunday morning. So, any questions on that? On the New Year's Eve service? Okay. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. But not only that, one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit. Because, see, a cheerful giver... Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So that's the spirit of the, that's the joy, that's the cheerfulness. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not a flesh joy. It's a joy that is given by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to come together this morning to worship you in this assembly. And we pray, Father, as man calculates time as we close out this year, that you will see fit to continue to pour into our cup, to use this assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. The internet, publication, speaking, however you see fit to use us, Father. Open our eyes to opportunities. Open our eyes to challenges that you might have before us, Father. That we might be used and fulfill our purpose in the very short time we have on earth. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, for the sake of time, we need to get into our study. This is a just unbelievable study this morning. It's a super, super study. So if you will open your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, we'll begin there. And we're going to see some things that I've just not seen before and put some things together. So I'm looking forward to our study this morning and need all the time that we can conjure up here. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and that the Holy Spirit will be the teacher. Open our eyes to these things and we can see what's going on. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to come with other believers who are like-minded for the purpose of studying you in spirit and in truth. It is our purpose, Father, to study the Bible, to grasp the Bible, to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. The more that we see, the more we can see. Truth is built upon the truth. Pray that your Spirit will be with us this morning. As we examine these things, Father, open our eyes to what you would have us to see. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, now in Romans chapter 4, Paul is going through historical teaching. In other words, he's going back to history. You want to know history. You want to know it accurately. And then knowing history should steer and guide as the present and the future are concerned. It says, like our past is the cross. We don't ever get away from the cross. Spiritual recovery is based on the cross by faith. And so it is with the Jews. If they would just take the time to look at their own history, they would see the truth. But they're guilty of the same thing we are in this country now. We distort the truth. We ignore the truth. All these kinds of things are going on that are just not correctly taught. If they were correctly taught, we would be a different people right now today in our voting. What so many people have in their mind from the Constitution and the reason for our Constitution: taxation without representation. But people, if you look at it, that's the 17th grievance. Long before that, deals with rights. Not the government pushing, not the government controlling, not the government ruling. Oh, let's don't emphasize all of that. Let's just deal with this one. So many things so important. So it's no accident that we are where we are politically in this country. We've abandoned our past. Abandoned our roots. And that's what the Jews did. They abandoned. It isn't a matter of, well, you've got to take the New Testament and believe it. Just look at your own Bible. It's there. It's there. So chapter 4 is an historical, biblical study from Paul. Now, he's dealing with Abraham's becoming righteous, salvation. And it was apart from works, verses 1 through 8. It was apart from circumcision, verses 9 through 12. And now we move to the next one. I know some of you are happy to get off the circumcision finally, but now let's go to the third. It is apart from the law. Verses 13 through 15, and then it's by faith alone, 16 through 25. So let's read verses 13 through 15. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise to Abraham or his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law. See, we've changed from circumcision to the law. Went from works, circumcision, the law. But through the righteousness of faith. For if, and all he's doing here, he's not teaching anything new. He's just interpreting history, the Bible, pointing out things. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath. See, the law brings about sin, the law brings about death, therefore the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there violation. So we'll have to cover that in its time. So let's look at verse 13 now. Got a long, some good stuff. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants. Okay. If you look at verse 13, let's see, we have, it introduces the promise. The promise that he, Abraham, would be heir of the world. Was not through law, but through righteousness that comes by faith. Now, here's a principle in that you don't want to forget, that the Jews have forgotten, if they ever knew it. Now, the first thing we want to do is we want to talk about the manuscripts, the biblical manuscripts of the New Testament in the Greek. Now, maybe this is why I did well in Greek. There's no correct order in Greek. See, in English, you've got subject, verb, object, all this kind of thing, and then your diagram, prepositional phrases, and all this. Everything's got to be exact. I love the Greek. I love the Greek. You can put them in any order you want. And the reason for changing the order of things, and I say changing from the English, Greek is older, but changing and going to that is for emphasis. If you want to emphasize the subject first, you want to emphasize the verb first. You want to emphasize the object first. Now look at your English text. For the promise to Abraham or his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through righteousness of faith. Now let me tell you what the Greek says. I'll tell you what's important to God, the Holy Spirit. For not through law. Not through law. And it's almost like anything else that comes after that, not through law. Any grace of God, it's not going to be through law. So the Greek says, and I'm going to deal with the Greek, I'm sorry. I love it here. For not through the law, the promise to Abraham or seed that they would be heirs of the world, but through a righteousness that comes by faith. First and last, power. So right and left hook. It is most emphatic that we understand that it is not through the law. That the Jews understand that, that we understand that. It's amazing how many Jews, even Gentiles, in the church age, still try to be good before God and earn things before God, be restored from sin by keeping the law. People, the Mosaic law kills. Want to do anything, do the Divine Nine. I'm sorry, all this hoopla about wanting to have the Ten Commandments in courthouses, in front of courthouses. I wish they would put up the Divine Nine. That'd blow your mind. Not what you should and shouldn't do, but what could happen to you, yes. The what? Okay. The law says, if you do this, it's a sin. If you sin, you're dead. So the law kills. Does that make sense, Marla? Okay. Now, good question. Hey, I don't know if y'all don't ask. I love Martha. She'll just say, hey, wait a minute. What do you mean? I love that. I have no problem with that. And I'm learning to answer it quickly. Did you notice that quickly? I could have went on and on. See? I'm learning that. Okay. So, now, it's amazing how many Gentiles of church age still want to live by the law, try to earn from God for the law. Yet God the Holy Spirit did everything He could to make sure that we did not commit this horrible mistake. And yet Jews and Gentiles in the church age try to earn from God by keeping the law, do and do, whatever your rules or list is. Okay, for not through the law, I'm going to deal with that first. For not through the law, the promise. Now, with the definite article identifying or referring to a specific section of the Abrahamic covenant, the promise. To Abraham. Next, we have a secondary beneficiary of the Abrahamic covenant, or his seed. Secondary to him, or his seed, his offspring. Now, it's very interesting. We have three seeds of references to the seed of Abraham. First and foremost is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is called the seed of Abraham. Now, first he's called the seed of the woman, the first giving of the gospel of salvation in Genesis 3:15. But he's also called the seed of Abraham. Genesis 22:15, Galatians 3:16, Psalms 2:8, Matthew 21:38. Hebrews 1:2. The line runs through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, not through Ishmael and Esau, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way down to Mary and Joseph. So, we'll take a look at Genesis 15:4 in a minute. But the seed of Abraham does not always refer to Jesus Christ. Got to understand that, as it doesn't here. Doesn't refer to Jesus Christ here. Secondly, the seed of Abraham refers to physical seed of Abraham. This refers to all his descendants, to Isaac and Jacob, all racial Jews, but get ready, it also includes the Arab people. The seed of Abraham is both Jewish and Gentile. That's why today the Arabs claim the right to the land by descendant of Abraham. Third, the seed of Abraham refers to the spiritual seed of Abraham. The spiritual seed of Abraham. This includes everyone, Old Testament, New Testament, tribulation, millennium, who believes in Jesus Christ. They believe in Jesus Christ, receive the imputation of righteousness. I mean, to me, in fact, when Tyson called, I was just a little emotional. And I don't get emotional often, as you know. And just to think, my daughter's completely different. She is now perfectly righteous before God. You know, we worry about the grades and the dancing the tutu and doing this and doing that and all this kind of things that we want them to do. To me, boy, that ends it right there. She's perfectly righteous before God. I got a new daughter, as it were. So this is how it comes, by faith in Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to read for you, but you can write down Galatians 3:29. I have it here to turn to it, but let's just let me read it to you. And if you, Gentiles, belong to Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. Okay? Now, so important as the Abrahamic covenant is to the Jews and to us, let's take a quick look at the Abrahamic covenant. Not spend a great deal of time, but just know some things that are powerful here. So let's look at the Abrahamic covenant, point one, by definition. By definition, the Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional covenant. See, what we would do is normally go through, there are two types of covenants. There's a conditional covenant, unconditional covenant. This is an unconditional covenant. What do I mean by that? What does the Bible mean when we talk about that? A conditional covenant is where God does His part, you do your part. An unconditional covenant, God does it all. He is the only one that has agreed to it. You didn't get to agree to salvation by faith in Christ alone. That's God's covenant. You either take it or leave it. You're either saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ or you're not. It's unconditional. So, Abrahamic covenant is unconditional. Agreement between God as the party of the first part, and Abraham is the second, as the party of the second part, only he has no part. Abraham is the beneficiary without merit, without doing any work. The source of this blessing to Abraham and to his descendants is the love of God, the faithfulness of God, the gift of God of Jesus Christ. The love of God is free to make this covenant to Abraham. Why? Because Abraham believed in the coming Messiah. So for the record, two kinds of covenants, conditional, unconditional. Abrahamic covenant is unconditional. Now I want to show you what a lot of people miss. I took a course in the Pentateuch, never pointed it out, never saw it. But let me show you something. Look at Genesis 15 a moment. Show you how this works. Genesis 15. Now, very quickly, how do we make a covenant today or a contract? Well, you got to get lawyers, pay them lots of money. They've got the system rigged that way. It's got to be good doing that. They've got the system rigged where you need them. Alright, then you sign it, and the other person signs it, you buy a house, a car, whatever, you sign, they sign, all this type of stuff, contract, they're going to do their part, you're going to do your part, they'll lend you the money, and you do your part, pay it back, and all this type of thing. In the Old Testament, not just with the Jews, by the way you made a covenant was different ways, but one of the ways was, you took an animal, cut the animal in two, put half of it here and half of it, and you both would walk through between. And you both are obligated by this covenant, by this promise, see? So do you understand that? Okay, whether we understand why it all worked out that way, I don't have time right now. Caesarean treaties and all of this, but let's just know what's happening in the Bible. With that in mind, please look at verse 12. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. I'm not here to exegete, just want you to see, he fell asleep. Now jump to verse 17. And it came about, when the sun had set, that it was very dark. And behold, there appeared a smoking oven, smoke, and a flame, torch, which passed between these pieces. The pieces of the animal cut in two. So, that is God walking between. Note that Abraham is asleep. God is the only one that is committed by this covenant. Not Abraham. It is given to Abraham because he has believed. God is the only one under obligation. It's an unconditional covenant. Do you see that now? to see how God is the only one that walked through. That cloud is God. We're all going through between the pieces. Abraham did not. He was asleep. Went to sleep. Didn't even know on a piece of land. Woke up. He's going to be inherited the whole of promised land. So, and he just did that while he was asleep. God did it. Okay, just wanted you to see that area. Now, you can read all that in between, but I just want to draw your attention to that major condition. So, Abraham is unconditional, not conditional on anything that Abraham has to do for God. He has already believed in Jesus Christ, and therefore now qualified, able to receive the unconditional covenant. Just in contrast, the Mosaic law is conditional. It's condition. You do this, I do that. You do this, I do that. So, means you have to do and do, rule, precepts, statutes, all the ordinances, and then God will do it. Now, point two. The original declaration of the Abrahamic covenant is found in Genesis 12. Let's turn the Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, if you will, please. Genesis chapter 12. This is important to you. You're under this covenant. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1. Now the Lord, that's Jesus Christ here, member of the Lord, the tetragrammaton can be for the Father, the Son, or the Spirit. Here it's the Son. Said to Abram, go forth from your country, Samaria, Acadia, and from your relatives, namely his father and the Ur. Sometimes we have to be separated from our relatives. Sometimes they're a hindrance. They pull you back. Sometime. And from your father's house. To the land which I will show you. Separation from evil, the Ur of the Chaldees, and all of the evil worship of Allah and all of the other gods. And to begin the blessing of a new race. So this is what's good. Third dynasty of Ur is about to be destroyed. Third dynasty of Ur is about to be destroyed. And separation from family emphasizes separation from personal distractions that often interfere with the plan of God. This is a true principle even today. You have to be careful. Verse 2. And I will make you a great nation. Great in number, great in quality. And I will bless you and make your name great. Important through all history. And so you shall be a blessing. Wow, what a statement. What a statement. Boy, if you're a parent, nothing better can be said of you. You're a blessing to your child spiritually. Not because you give them this and give them that and be sure of this and be sure of that. No, spiritual. You're a blessing to them. Okay. You shall be a blessing to all. Through his seed, Jesus Christ, is how this goes. Verse 3, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses, despises you, I will curse. And people, this applies to history right up to today. I see this country going against Israel and these Palestinian various things, issues. Frightens me. I mean, the moral decadence is one thing. But this type of thing is just frightening. Okay. So, this is what he'll do. I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who bless you. And then he says, and in you, all families of the earth will be blessed. How's that possible? Through the seed Jesus Christ. Through the seed Jesus Christ. This is the original declaration of the Abrahamic covenant. An outline of future things to be presented. Now we come to point three. Point three. There was a specific geographical promise included in the Abrahamic covenant. There was a specific geographical promise. the land promised to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant. Now, see, this is why we're spiritual seed of Abraham. Not a one of you, not a one of us, have been promised any land. You've not been promised any land. Yet we've come under the promise of Abraham, but we've not been promised any land. We're under the spiritual. You've been promised the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? You bet. Indwelling of the Spirit. Spiritual blessings. But the Jews who believe are promised this land, geographical land. Now, this is first found in Genesis 13. Let's look at Genesis 13, and let's just read verses 14 through 16 rather quickly, just to kind of orient ourselves. 14 through 16. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look upon the place where you are. See, remember Lot picked out the best, most beautiful land? Okay, leaving Abraham not so great? Well, let's see what God does. Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can be numbered. Okay, so promise all of this land. Look at Genesis 15. Genesis 15. We'll just start with verse 18. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. And then he lists the people who now occupy that land. So we have a land that goes all the way back to the Abrahamic covenant. It goes from the part of Egypt all the way to the Mesopotamia Valley. It includes everything in the Arabic Peninsula today. It includes not only Egypt, but the land we call Ethiopia. Dan and I spent the night in two days in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, the capital. And we stayed at the Queen of Sheba Hotel. It's where we ran into a man, a teacher at Ohio, and he believed in Jesus Christ when we were talking with him. Okay, so it goes all the way. It's some of the most beautiful countries in this area. You can just draw a line, which I had it on the overhead, but draw a line across to from Egypt to Mesopotamia. You begin to see the land, how much land is given, promised by God, unconditionally, in the Abrahamic covenant. Point four. The covenant was confirmed to Isaac. Genesis 26, 3 and 4. We'll not turn there. But Genesis 26, 3 and 4. The covenant was confirmed to Jacob. Was confirmed to Jacob. Genesis 35, 12. Point 6. The Abrahamic covenant was confirmed in the time of the Exodus, or the formation of the Jewish nation. And this we do have to take a moment. So if you will, look with me at Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. All right, Exodus 6. And we're going to read verses 2 through 8. And as we read through them, I want you to note, in reading, how many times I, the Lord. God does it, people. Not us. Verse 2. God spoke. And people, that's grace. The fact we have this Bible's grace. The fact that God spoke to anyone is grace. doesn't have to. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, and this is important to what we're going to do this morning, Exodus chapter 6, and said to him, I am the Lord, Jesus Christ, the God of Israel. Okay, I am the Lord. Verse 3, I appeared, that's grace, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai, the many-breasted God, source of blessings. But by my name, Lord, that's the tetragrammaton Yahweh or Jehovah, I did not make myself known to them. Verse 4, and I also established, confirmed my covenant with them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them the land of Canaan, the land which they sojourned. And furthermore, I have heard, blessing, I have heard, that's what he does when we pray, the groaning of the sons of Israel, because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, in slavery, and I have remembered them in their pain. No, I have remembered my covenant. People, we don't ask God, oh, poor me, look what bad a condition I'm in, Lord. Look at my finances are going to the pot, all these things. No, no, I come to you on the basis of my position in Christ. Not asking for things you never promised me. Just want to be remembered of the things you did promise me. See how this works? It's beautiful. Verse 4, I also established a covenant, my covenant. Verse 5, furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because of the Egyptians are holding them in bondage and slavery, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. Picture of our salvation. Picture of our spirituality by faith. I will deliver you from your slave, from their slavery. See? Where he delivers us from the penalty of sin as unbelievers, from the power of sin as believers, from the law. All these things. It's so beautiful. Go, I have done these things. And I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm. Outstretched arm is a reference to the cross. Jesus Christ crucified on the cross, outstretched arms. And with great judgments. That's against Egypt. Verse 7. Then I will take you from my people as a nation. It's already taken him as individual, now as a nation. I will be your God. I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Listen now. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Remember that. I'll give you the land. 17 times, I. Always a reference to His wonderful grace. 7 times, I will. Unconditionally. See? I will do this. Not based on what you do, I will do this. Unconditionally. God will do it. It's the faithfulness of God to Abraham, to His covenant. Okay. It's time to note something extremely important. How many times have I had you look at Isaiah 28? So many times. You know what? Especially verse 13. So then, the word of the Lord, the gospel, will become to them do and do, do and do. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For not through the law, the promise to Abraham or to his seed that he should be heir of the world. The promise to Abraham is a reference to the Abrahamic covenant. It's a covenant of grace. It's an unconditional covenant. This is the covenant Israel should have been living by all along from the day of Abraham. But they rebelled against God, against His grace covenant. So God gave them a law to teach them about grace. That's what He did. Giving of the Mosaic law is an analogous, an application of the Isaiah 28:13 passage, which we have looked at. Look at it very quickly, just to remind yourself. We've not seen this as an example. I don't know how I've missed it, but it's an example. The Mosaic law is an example of Isaiah 28:13. Isaiah 28:13, so the word of the Lord, here the Abrahamic covenant, in our study, the word of the Lord is the gospel, but for our study be the Abrahamic covenant. To them, that is to those who reject grace and prefer works, will become order on order, order on order, line on line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and stumble backward, be broken, snared, and taken captive. History of Israel. Now let's see how this works. The Abrahamic covenant is promise of land by grace, freely given. Freely given. Genesis 13, let's go back very quickly. Don't want you to miss what we're doing now. Genesis 13. This is so beautiful. Don't know how I missed it. Genesis 13. Let's look at 14. 13, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from them, lift up your eyes and look at the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land you see, I will give it to you. Genesis 15, 18 through 21, which we've already read. No mention of do and do, do and do. No mention at all. Now I want you to look at what God did. Oh, you don't want it by grace? You don't want it by trusting me? All right, I'm going to take this gospel. I'm going to take this covenant. And it's going to look like works to you. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is so powerful. I hope you see it. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Okay, before we do this, everyone here does understand, anybody not understand that the Abrahamic covenant, unconditionally, God will give them the land. It's grace. Okay? No do and do, no works, no list. Now, take a look at Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. And now, O Israel, listen, now watch the do and do, to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to do, in order that you may live and go and take possession of the land which the Lord gave to your fathers, is giving to you. Wait a minute. I thought it was unconditional. What's with all these precepts? What's with all this do and do stuff, these statutes? You promised Abraham this land unconditionally. And now we have to work for it. So the word of the Lord will come to you. Do and do, do and do. You don't want the Abrahamic covenant? Okay, every time you look now at the Abrahamic covenant, what are you going to see? What do the Jews see? Do and do, do and do. Precepts, statutes, judgments. Look at Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5. So the word of the Lord come to them, do and do, do and do. Let's see how this flows for you. Deuteronomy 5, let's start in verse 1. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances, the do and do, which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. Do and do, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, little here and little there, and you better keep every one of them. This is the law." And this is what the Jews see every time they see the Abrahamic covenant now. Verse 2. This is so important. "The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He did not make it with them. He made with them an unconditional covenant. This one's conditioned. The statutes, the ordinances, the judgments, the precepts. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us. All of us, with those who are alive here today, in place of..." Where are they now? They're in the place of waste. They're in the place of emptiness. It's where they've chosen to be. Verse 4. "The Lord spoke to you face to face at the mountain from the midst of fire. Giving of the law came with fire." Verse 5. "While I was standing between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord." Now does Isaiah 28 ring for you? "The word of the Lord will become do and do, do and do." This is so powerful. This is unbelievable. There's no way we should be missing the references here. The word of the Lord. Isaiah 28:13. "The word of the Lord shall become do and do, do and do." You don't want the unconditional covenant of verse 12 of Isaiah 28? Rest, give them rest? Then here's what you're going to get. You're going to get the works. You're going to get do and do. And every time you look at it, that's what you're going to see. Do and do, do and do. Rule on rule, rule on rule. A little here and a little there. They rejected the Abrahamic covenant. Now they get another message. They get a gospel, as it were, a covenant, as it were, of works. Now look what he says at the end of verse 5. "For you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up to the mountain to the Lord." Abraham was right there with him. He said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." I brought you out. But you still didn't get it. You still don't understand my grace. This is like being saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and then to be restored from sin. Oh, I want to work for it. You didn't get it, did you? You didn't get it. That I restore you. All you do is trust the one I sent, my Spirit. No, you want to work for it. Okay. Get your list out of do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule. Be ruled by preachers, be ruled by churches, be ruled by denominations. If you don't like my grace plan, then here's what it's going to become to you. And that's what he said to the Jews. This is a beautiful picture of God's grace. God has made all the provisions. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. Brought them out of slavery, just like he brought us in salvation 1, eternal life salvation. Now all they have to do is enter that land by faith. All we have to do is to enter the Spirit-filled life by faith. But they wouldn't do it. And many Christians won't do it today. See, Jesus Christ brought us out of the slave market of sin. It cost him. And now all we have to do is to trust him. Unfortunately, many refuse to trust in him as Savior. Many refuse who do trust him as Savior. Now they want to go to a different gospel. So we have two different covenants. Galatians chapter 1, we had two gospels. the gospel of which you're saved and a different gospel, which is really not another gospel. Here we have two covenants. And you get to pick. You get to pick which one you want. Which one you want to function with God under. One is grace. It's the Abrahamic covenant. The other is works. It's the Mosaic covenant. And people, they read as different as light and darkness. One is rest, repose, grace through faith. The other reads do and do, rule on rule. Here are my precepts, here are my ordinances, here are my statutes. Do and do every one of them carefully. Learn every one of them and do every one of them. Oh, God, how I wished there'd have been one lousy Jew who said, wait a minute, Moses! I'm lazy! I don't want to work! I don't want to learn! I'm not good at school! I'm not good at learning precepts and statutes and all that stuff! And under Abraham, he said, he just give it to me! I'm going to go with the Abrahamic covenant. You guys go with this new one. I'm moving on down the line. Which one of them had done it? Well, Caleb and Joshua did it later. I'm just talking about right now, at this point. Caleb and Joshua go into the land. They took it by grace, through faith. Okay. But you see what's happening here. So we have Isaiah 28 given the principle. We have the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic covenant given the application of it. So we have, and we have two gospels. Gospel by which you're saved, grace. The gospel by which you live works. You get to pick. I got news for you, though. If you pick the Mosaic way, under the Mosaic covenant, it's heavy. You're going to get weary. You're going to stumble. It just gets heavier and heavier. You learn more precepts and more concepts and more judgments and more statutes. And the more you learn, the heavier the yoke gets. Same thing in trying to live the Christian life by works. By morality, by doing, by learning, by all of this stuff. Oh, I got to do all these things. No. I just offer to you freely. Offer to you by grace. So we have two different covenants here. You get to pick which one you want. One is rest and repose, grace through faith. The other reads do and do, rule on rule, the Mosaic law. I hate to kind of end it on this level, but let's finish the doctrine or the study of Abrahamic covenant, point 7. The new race and land are brought together under the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 17:8. The new race and the land are brought together under the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 17:8, point 8. Circumcision as the ritual confirmation and acknowledgement of the covenant, Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 17, 9-14. And 9, the application of the Abrahamic covenant is found in Genesis 22, 15-18. Again, what did he do in obeying God? He believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That's all. Just faith. And it was reckoned to him. For people that want to dramatize the Mosaic law, you've just chosen the covenant of works. Covenant where you got to work and work and do and do. Want to put something in the statute in front of courthouses? Put the Abrahamic covenant. Put on there. And he believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Boy, I'd rather see that in the courthouses and in front of the courthouses and in schools, school books. Put something that counts. Not lead them into more works to kill. Any questions on what we did this morning? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. Father, we thank the Holy Spirit for opening our eyes. Didn't see it. Give us the principle in Isaiah 28. Then we go back and look at history and see it actually applied. Give us the gospel of grace through faith. I don't want that. So every time we read it, we see works. Do and do. Roll, a little here, a little there. Go backward, fall backward. Taking slaves. It's exactly what happened to Israel when they chose the Mosaic Law. Taken prisoner by the law. Falling backwards. Falling into it. Over and over and over. Father, we're not judging them. We're learning from them. We're not maligning them. We do the same thing. We just want to learn from them. I want to learn from the truth of your word. That you always deal with us by grace. And grace is always by faith. So Father, we praise you. For showing us all these things. Driving us all the more. To just live in by faith through grace. Father, we pray these things now. In Christ's name. Amen.